Thank you. It's now my pleasure to introduce an old friend of NGA, someone who's been at a lot of NGA events and is always very informative. He's always slightly controversial, but does work for us. It's Mike Clonenball, who actually is going to be finishing in that too distant future from Ofsted and moving back into being a principal, an executive principal of a small VAT. So, without further ado, can I introduce Mike Clonenball, Director of Inspection at Ofsted. Thank you.
Thanks very much. You know, is there anybody here from the small map that I'm going to be the executive principal of?
Yeah. My mum taught there for 20 years.
Fantastic. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Can you hear me okay in the back? Yeah, fantastic. If I sort of dwindle down into nothingness, then do give me a shout and so on. So good morning, and thank you all very much for inviting me here to speak today. And I want to start actually by thanking you on behalf of Ofsted and on behalf of the millions of children who attend the 23,000 or so schools in England. Because your industry, you know, your commitment and enthusiasm means you do a fantastic job, and I hope you feel proud of what you do. In many ways, I think your work is one of the greatest of the unsung stories. And it is, you know, it really is a triumph of largely unreported selflessness in the service of the common good. So thank you. I know it's not easy. And you can often be, if you forgive the military metaphor, right in the firing line, including when inspectors come to call. And right in the firing line, I think, is all of us who step up to serve society's key institutions know. And schools are absolutely one of society's key institutions. And education has never been, at least in my view, more important here as well as abroad. And if nothing else, the terrible recent events in Nigeria, say, in the last few weeks, remind us of its power and of the responsibility that we all have, you, I, and the rest, the responsibility that we all have to do all that we can to make sure that it's a force for enlightenment, a force for equality, a force for freedom, and a force for democracy. I think it was Jefferson, anyway, one of the Americans, probably one of the American presidents, argued that schools shape the character of the nation. And I think that raises, for me and for all of us, a kind of a fundamental question that we're beginning to ask ourselves again, and indeed we ask ourselves more regularly, perhaps, than we've done, ask ourselves the fundamental question of what it is we want from our schools and for our children in this country. I mean, like you, I've seen over the years many changes in our schools. Its original form of purpose, kind of inevitably, were defined by the years it came from, you know, defined by its time. And there were years, whether we like it or not, there were years that were not always too great. Those were the days, pre-Ofsted and at the time of its inception, and many of you will remember this, those were the days when it was considered to be unprofessional to observe another teacher teach, where classroom doors, certainly in many secondary schools, were routinely shut, and corridor windows or the door glass panels, you know, were covered in sugar paper to deter all the most determined from entry. And it was a time where, sadly, some schools seemed to exist more for the benefit of those who worked in them than for the pupils that the schools served. And in the worst schools, again, in the main, in the worst secondary schools, you know, students used to roam the school when they should have been in lessons, and I remember seeing it when I first joined HMI in schools in special measures. Roamed the school when they should have been in lessons, you know, often without bags, books, pens and equipments and all that sort of thing. Now, happily that kind of thing is now very rare. And things are much better, much, much better than they were. But while they are much better, there's still some stuff to do. 2 years ago, when we began the programme of inspection reform within Ofsted, around 2.3 million children were being taught in mediocre schools in England. That's schools that were not yet good. And of them, about 6,000 schools overall, of them, about a half of those had been less than good for more than one inspection cycle. And sometimes generations of people had been taught in those schools without there being any real quality going on. And what's worse, I believe, is the fact that those schools in the main served our most disadvantaged communities. And put bluntly, the children who needed the best of all possible starts in life were getting amongst the poorest. And that's exactly why, you know, we introduced the RI that requires improvement grade, as difficult and as tough as it's been for people. And that's why we stopped always just watching from the sidelines, sniping from the sidelines, some may say, and committed HMI, Her Majesty's Inspectors, to challenging and supporting those schools directly to visit seminars and conferences. So that's been the last couple of years and the big reform that I was involved in and that Ofsted, Ofsted committed itself to. And there's more good news there too. As a consequence of the work that's been going on over that period of time, around 750,000 more children are now getting a better education in England than they were 2 years ago. 750,000. And not because of what Ofsted did, frankly, in the main, of course, but because of the strong leadership exercised in part by governors, the hard work and the talent that exists in our schools. And that is and absolutely has to be a good news story. But it can't end there, it seems to me. Everything needs to evolve. And the current Ofsted consultation, I'll say more about that in a minute, marks the beginning, I think, of inspection's next chapter, as inspection reshapes itself to reflect the reality of today, with all of those good and outstanding schools in our system, rather than the world of 1992. So, what's the overall package of the consultation proposals? Well, there are two big and crunchy proposals, as well as an important question about how we should inspect and how we should deliver our inspections. And the first of the kind of the big crunchy proposals is that maintain schools and academies, FE and S, further education and skills providers, non-association independent schools and registered early years settings will now be inspected, and this is what we propose anyway, under a new common inspection framework. So an inspection framework that applies across all of those groups. And we need this, you know, so that we can have greater equity, greater consistency, and greater comparability across our education remits. To me, it's completely illogical that around 1.5 or so million students being taught in sixth form colleges in this country can be inspected in an entirely different way, with different tariffs, different notice periods and all the rest, than those similar number of students being taught in our sixth forms in our secondary schools. And similarly, in early years, about 1.5 million children are being taught in settings that are on the early years register and are inspected under the early years framework, whereas a similar number are being taught in maintained schools and maintained nurseries, and they're inspected under the school's framework. So we want to bring all of that together, and we want to include within that the non-association independent schools. The government has introduced some new standards for independent schools, which have raised expectations for them, and rightly so, in my view. And so we're therefore intending to introduce this new framework for those schools and inspect them all again under the new framework and the new standards. Inspect them all again within a period of about 3 years, and that, we believe, will enable us to establish a better picture of the quality.